Father, bless all the efforts. Bless all that they would do, Father. Let them come back bearing precious sheaves for your glory, Lord. Touch your people there, and even us now as you open your word, bless us in this place and help us in communion service upon this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless. And sisters, open our Bibles. Welcome back, Brother Max. It's good to see you, Brian. God bless you. Glad that the Lord kept you there, right in the shadow of Rome. Let's open our Bibles, read two scriptures. Let's read from Matthew 5, verse 23. If saints wouldn't mind, please turning the heaters off a little bit because I can feel it's going to get hot. It gets hot in the front and it gets cold in the back. So I think if we maybe get a fan or something like that to circulate the air, because it really gets hot up here sometimes. And then Brother Jose said in the back it's so cold. So Matthew 5, let's read 23 and 24. A very, very sobering scripture. The Lord Jesus said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." My. Now we know Jesus would never have taught us anything which wasn't based on Old Testament truth. So this is the law of the trespass offering. Let's read this in Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus 6, it's the trespass offering. And we'll take it as our thought this evening, the power of the trespass offering. We just want to have a look at this trespass offering and just to see how powerful this is, this principle of this trespass offering. Leviticus 6, we'll read the first 7 verses. This is the trespass offering. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin," now look at the various trespasses, "and commit a trespass against the Lord." So all these things we're going to read about, they're against people, but they're actually against the Lord. He says, "They've trespassed against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he has deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely." So you lie about your brother, the Bible says, "he shall even restore it in the principal and shall add the fifth part more thereunto." So the law of the trespass offering, if you sinned against your brother, you went and you made it right with a special measure on top. You didn't just say sorry to the Lord. That wasn't enough. If you committed a trespass against your brother, you went and you made it right. If you took his goods, you gave him his goods, plus another 20% on top. That's the trespass offering. It says, shall add the fifth part more. Verse 6, "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering to the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for any thing of all that he hath done in trespassing therein." May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Let's look at this. We're not really going to look too much at the offering itself, but look at this principle of the power of the trespass offering. You know, it's a real important thing. I really love the way that the Bible is everything that Paul really quoted in the Spirit when he said every scripture is profitable. Every scripture. There's nothing in the Holy Bible that isn't applicable to us. Everything has its lesson. Everything has its principle. And the message comes and brings those things out. And in this one here, there's a real principle behind it, which I think applies to all of us. Now, we know from before that there's two different types of offerings here. There's a sin offering. A sin offering when you sin against God. When you break his laws, when you do something, you would go and make an offering so that you'd be forgiven before the Lord. Now, the trespass offering was a slightly different thing. The trespass offering, it actually had two different things if you read it. Firstly, it's if you sin against the Lord in his holy things. So if you go to the temple and you play around, if you do something against God in the holy things, something pertaining to the tabernacle, something pertaining to his offerings, you don't approach him the right way. You've trespassed against the Lord. So in that case, you offer a trespass offering. And a trespass offering was a ram. That's what you had to bring. So it had to be done in the spirit of the ram. That was the offering. But the second one, which we just read here now, is when you trespassed against your brother. When you did something wrong against your brother, you had to go and make it right. And that's exactly what Jesus says. Jesus is showing us these two offerings. He says, if you bring your gift to the altar, if you wanted to come and make an offering to the Lord, but yet you haven't made a trespass offering yet to your brother, that's got something against you, don't bother coming and offering that sin offering or that offering to the Lord until you first go and make right with your brother. You first go and sort out the trespass offering. So these two things went hand in hand. And one of them on their own was not going to be sufficient for you to be justified before the Lord. You are not acceptable before the Lord. If you went and stole your neighbor's sheep, and then you went to the Lord and you offered an offering for a sin offering, the Lord would have said, that is an incomplete repentance that you're making here. You've made that right to me, that's fine, but you didn't just sin against me, you sinned against your brother, so you leave your gift here at the altar and go and make right with your brother. And when you go and make right with your brother, don't do it grudgingly, you give extra than is required when you make right with your brother. That was the principle of this offering. So it was also called the guilt offering, obviously because you're guilty. Now guilt is not a feeling, friends. Guilt isn't something. Many, many times people do things they don't feel guilty, but they're still guilty before the Lord because they've broken the principles of God's word. So it's a guilt offering. If you break certain principles, you're guilty before the Lord. No matter how you feel, no matter how you try to justify yourself, if you speak against somebody and tell lies against somebody, you're guilty before the Lord. It doesn't matter how you feel. And the way that God testifies of this is in your experience. And friends, the reason I got onto this thought, we'll try to get onto the real thought on Sunday, that the prophet says what we desire in our midst is apostolic times. That's what he says. I've got a quote book with 60-something pages of promises to the bride, which I've been reading these days. But sometimes you want to look and say, where are we now and how do we get there? And when I started to look at that, I thought that this is one principle that we need really, really to establish within our midst, is this one of the trespass offering. Yes. Is that to bring ourselves to a place that the fire can really fall on the sacrifice, we've got to come lawfully. We've got to really apply the principles of the kingdom of God the right way. And especially in this one of when we trespass against one another. Because friends, it's so easy to be like that Sunday school teacher. And she comes to the prophet and she's trespassed against her marriage vows. She's sinned against her husband. And then she can't be healed. The fire's not coming on the sacrifice. She can't get the full blessing in her experience once again. And she comes to discernment before the prophet. And in the discernment, here he sees her driving a car during the time of the war. And then she almost falls off the chair and the prophet says, you were with another man. When your husband was away, and she says, I've already confessed that to God. That's the sin offering. But the prophet says, you didn't sin against God. You sinned against your marriage vows. So what was he telling her to do? You need to offer a trespass offering here now. You need to go and make restitution against the one that you've sinned against. And then God is going to accept your sacrifice. Then God is going to answer with fire from heaven because you've approached this the right way. But she was thinking by just doing it to the Lord and not going and making it right to the person that she had wronged, that God was going to hear her prayers. And the heaven was like brass. And she had psychological problems and all of these things. She couldn't even leave the city, the prophet said. Yeah, she was like a nervous wreck because of this principle of the trespass offering. And friends, it's an eternal principle of God's word. Those things that we sin against God, we make right to God. But those things where we've sinned against man, we have to make right with man. You know, we can try to dismiss it. We can try to reason ourselves away from it. But this is a principle of God's word. And Jesus taught it to us. When you come to the altar, if you come to the communion service, and you're approaching the table of the Lord, and you remember that your brother's got something against you. There's something you've done to your brother, something you've done to your sister, and you haven't gone and made it right with them. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and make it right with them. Then come back now to offer your gift to the Lord. And it's a real principle, friends. And when we look inside of our midst, if we want a deeper atmosphere, like the brother was preaching, Brother Alexi, on the weekend about the power of being in one accord. How do we get into one accord? Friends, we've got to get right the trespass offering. We can't just allow divisions between people, and I'm not happy with them. I'm not speaking to her because she did this against me. And no, that person did this against me. There's spiritual principles at work here. And if we're wanting a greater portion of God's blessing, if we want the Lord to continue to take us higher with spiritual momentum, this is a very important principle. And one that we so easily can reason ourselves out of. And that's why I thought tonight we really need to focus on this a little bit, because it's an important principle. It's this one of the guilt offering. So the trespass offering, you'll find it Leviticus 5, Leviticus 6. It's either against Jehovah, you've sinned against his house. You've sinned against the holy things of the Lord. You've trespassed against God. And in that one, if you read in Leviticus 5, it's even if you've done it unwillingly. You didn't mean to do it. And then it's brought to attention that you've trespassed against the order of God. You've trespassed in your approach to God. You offered a sin offering and you came and you offered your trespass offering. And then secondly, trespasses against man. So it was a twofold offering, this one. And what it really, really shows, it's firstly is a confession. Your sin offering is a confession before the Lord. And your trespass offering is a restitution against the person that you've done wrong. And without both of these things, there can never be a full restoration. There can never be a full reconciliation between people until both of these principles have been followed. No matter how much you pray and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, I lied against Sister So-and-so. Doesn't matter how much you pray about that. Until you go and sit with that person and tell them, Sister, I trespassed against you. I sinned against you. I lied against you. You might say, but I never stole. What you did, you stole that person's reputation. You've stolen their good name. That's what you've done. And until we go and we sit down with that person honestly and openly and make restitution through the trespass offering, friends, we never have the full blessing. We'll never have the full blessing. And that's why it's a serious thing, the things of the Lord, when you look at these kind of a thing. And that's why you'll find in this trespass offering, you know, God wanted to show the cost of sin. It's not just a light thing. You had to bring a ram. You had to come to the altar with that ram. You had to take this innocent animal, yeah? A ram from your flock. You had to lay your hands upon it upon the altar. There had to be a death on the altar. You had to feel that animal kicking and dying and the blood spurting out. And God was trying to show, it's not a small thing for you to trespass against your brother. It causes pain. It causes offense. It stumbles somebody else. It doesn't only stumble the person. It hinders the work of God in the house of God. You're trespassing against the holy things of God. So in this offering, God's trying to get people to focus by having to bring it to the priest, having to bring it into the house of the Lord first, and make a sacrifice to show there's a real price in these things. There's suffering in these things. There's pain in these things. And friends, it's so easy for us sometimes to trespass against one another and just to brush it off like that. You say something evil, you spread a story, you know, you do something wrong, yeah? And we just dismiss it like that. And the Lord is trying to show that there's a price. This has brought pain. And that's why he makes it an offering. And you'll notice there can be no reconciliation until there's a death on the altar. Something has to die on the altar. And friends, sometimes offering the trespass offering is one of the greatest acts of overcoming you'll ever do. To do this the right way, you've died to yourself. You've died to the old man. You've died to your old nature that wants to justify itself, and you've overcome yourself, and you're coming now to that person and you're sitting down, you're looking them straight in the face and saying, Sister, I was wrong. brother, I was wrong. And see how God blesses that when you do it the right way. That's how you get the blessing of God back in your relationships once again. There's no other way. The Bible doesn't provide any other way. There's no secret offering to reconcile with somebody. It's a trespass offering. And you had to come and acknowledge it to the priest in those days. Just say, I've sinned. You'd lay your hands and confess your sins over that beast. Friends, we've got to confess it in the presence of the high priest. We've got to be open about it. And then you go to the person and you say, I stole that bag of wheat from you. I'm bringing you one bag and a fifth extra to make up for the damages that I did to you. And until it was done like that, you could never be reconciled in the sight of God, either with God or with man. There was an issue God had in both directions here. He said, you've sinned against me because these are my people. You've sinned against me because this is my house. But the sin you've done is against your brother, against somebody who you've got to go and make right with. So that's what these were done. You had to make right. Now, look in Luke 19. You'll understand now in the house of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, now he understood this principle as well. And Zacchaeus in Luke 19 verse 8. When now Jesus goes into the house of Zacchaeus. Now friends, this trespass offering, I'm going to show you in a different direction now, but it's an absolute proof of repentance. If you want to know if someone's genuine in their repentance, they go and they make right with the people they did wrong to. Until somebody does that, you may come and sit in my office there and say, look, I really did bad, I did wrong. But until you go to that person, you haven't repented yet. It's not a complete repentance. So Zacchaeus now, he accepts Jesus into his house. He's been a crook. He's trespassed against so many people. His fellow brothers, the Jews, he's cheated, he's stolen, he's robbed, he's lied. You know how these people are, these tax collectors. That's why they were so hated. He profited by the pain that he inflicted upon other people in the kingdom of Israel. That's why they were the most hated of people, the publicans, the tax collectors and the publicans. They were hated by the people. So Jesus passes his way. And to show that Jesus really, really passed his way and he accepted Jesus the right way and that he properly repented, look in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Amen. The law said add 20%. This man says, I'm so glad you've come into my life. I'm so glad for grace. I'm so glad for a fresh chance, another opportunity in my life. I've been hurtful. I've been cruel. I've affected the lives of people. Lord, I need to express it in some way. You've forgiven me, Jesus. I can feel it inside of my soul. That there's people out there that have been affected by the way I treated them. I can't just leave them like that. I've inflicted pain upon them. I've inflicted sorrow upon them. I need to go back to each of those people that I've sinned against. And Lord, I'm going to give fourfold. And as soon as that happened, what does Jesus say? And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house. Amen. That's what brought the blessing down. It wasn't enough for him just to have Jesus in his house. It wasn't enough, friends. What about all the people he's done wrong? It's not enough for him just to be reconciled to Jesus. What about all the people? He can offer a sin offering except Jesus. That's fine, but that's the first step. Once you've offered the sin offering, you go and offer the trespass offering as well. Go to those people that you've defrauded. Go to those people that you've done wrong against. Go to those people that your behavior has caused them to suffer. You've defrauded them inside of their lives. You've made them come up short. We need to go to those people. And a genuine repentance is like Zacchaeus. You don't have to force it out of somebody. He wasn't there saying, okay, yeah, one shekel and 20 whatevers. He's saying, Lord, I'm going to give fourfold. I'm so sorry for what I did. I'm so glad for your grace. I'm going to offer a trespass offering far above that which I'm being asked to offer. That's an evident token of salvation. When grace comes into the life of a person. When you receive grace from God, friends, there's a reaction to that grace. When you realize he's forgiven you of the 500 talents of that you owed him that you could never pay. Ah, friends, you want to go and make right with your brother. You want to go and make right with your sister. And that's why, friends, this one here of really getting our things in order before the Lord, this is such an important principle. Because that's how they got into one accord in the upper room. They had to make a trespass offering to each other. That John had to go to Peter and say, Peter, brother, I'm really sorry. I was so offended when you denied Jesus that day. I dismissed you. I thought, I don't want this man to be the leader anymore. Yeah. And then every single one of them, the prophet says, they were making right. They were going and making right the things they had done wrong to one another. And then when the Lord looked down, he says, fine, you've accepted my word. You've accepted the Messiah in your day. You've been walking in the message of the hour. But when the trespass offering was now applied properly, then you saw the full blessing coming down from heaven. Then God poured himself down because they brought themselves into one accord. And friends, you can't bring yourself into one accord with somebody that you've sinned against quietly. There's no stealth repentance in the kingdom of God. If you've sinned against someone, the only way to reconcile is go to that person. There's no other way. If you've defrauded somebody, if you caused somebody to stumble, if you caused an offense, there's no other way. There's no other way. If you don't know about it, the Bible also says, if your brother's committed a sin against you, go to him. So on the other side as well, you go to that person. And you say, look, brother, it really offended me. And if the person refuses, you go and get a second person and go to that person as well. But friends, we can't just leave things like that. You can't just leave a big breach in the wall of Jerusalem right in front of your house. You're in the days of Nehemiah. God has ordained your house to be right in front of you is a big breach in the wall. And you do nothing to repair the breach. You want to leave it to other people. No, shame on us for doing that. Every single one of us have our own responsibility to repair the breaches that are before us. And sometimes the prophet says it may take the skin off your face. It's not an easy thing sometimes to do. But grace inside of your soul, you'll do it, friend. You'll do it properly with all of your heart. And that's when you can really see when somebody's received grace. See when somebody first comes to the Lord. They want to make everything right. They want to throw away all the worldly things. They want to just, you know, say sorry to the people they sinned against. That's a sign of grace. That's a sign they've received forgiveness. That's a fruit of real forgiveness. A fruit of a visitation of grace is you go and make right with the people that you did wrong. And that's why the Lord sometimes allows situations inside of our lives where we let him down again. We let people down again. And then he gives us a fresh visitation of grace. Oh, when the grace comes in once again and you see that he's giving you another chance, what do you want to do? The natural fruit, you want to go and make right with your brother. You want to go and make right with your sister. Friends, I don't understand this kind of a repentance that allows big breaches between us and we don't make them right. No, friends, we can't leave it like that. It's not the way that it was in the Bible. It's not the way that it should be now. Now, you might say, okay, let's look at this as a New Testament principle. Now, how do I offer a trespass offering? Let's look in the life of Paul. Acts chapter 7, we won't read all the scripture, but you know that Paul, he was assenting to the stoning of Stephen. He was holding the coats. He was agreeing. I'm sure he was saying, yeah, throw a bigger stone. You know the way that Paul was before he received grace. He was doing damage to the lives of people in the church. His behavior, the things that he was doing, he was getting letters. Now, it says that in Acts 8, it says, as for Saul, Acts 8 verse 3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Imagine you putting people in prison. You're taking fathers away from their children, taking mothers away from their children. A lot of these people were put to death in the prison. Oh, friends, this is a serious amount of damage this man's done. This is a serious sequence of trespasses that this man has done against holy things, against the real tabernacle of God, which is the house of God, which is his people. So Saul now, that's how he was in the beginning, until he meets Jesus. And when he meets Jesus now, and he receives grace, yeah? Saul, when grace enters the soul of this man, And he's forgiven. He accepts our great sin offering, which is Christ. He now is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has peace in his conscience towards God in that respect. He's been forgiven of his sin. But the soul of a man like Saul, who becomes Paul, is never going to be satisfied by just making it right with God. He's going to want to do something for the people. He's, look what the damage that he's done to the program of God. Look how he's hindered. Look how he's persecuted. Look at all the things that he's done. Friends, when this man receives grace, he's not going to allow it to stay like that. And now that's why he says in 1 Corinthians 15, let's read it. He says in verse 8, he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, Jesus, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. So friend, Paul's life became a trespass offering. His whole life now was trying to make restitution for what he had done. Everything he did, every single day he was thinking, but I was against Christ. I fought against him. I fought against his people. That's why he says, that's why I labored more abundantly than all the rest of the apostles. Our friends, that's a genuine life of a believer. A genuine life when you've done damage to the kingdom of God. You've done damage to the program of God. When grace enters your soul, you'll do as much as you can. You'll labor more abundantly to try to make up for what you did. That's the trespass offering, making restitution for the wrong that you did in the lives of people. He might have looked and said, there's certain people I can't make right to, but here's their children, here's the church. Let me labor if I, in some way I can try to make amends for the damage that I've done, the mistakes that I've made in the past. Our friends, have you never been like that? I've been like that. You get to those stages that you realize you messed up, you trespassed. No matter how sincere you were. Friends, we trespass against God, against his people. We don't do things the way that they should have been done. Then grace comes and gives you another chance. And when you get that second chance, you want to offer the trespass offering. It's not enough for you just to accept grace from the Lord that he's forgiven you. You want to go and try to make right the things which you didn't do right. You want to go and try to mend the places that needed to be mended. Oh, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. But friends, grace in the soul of a person expresses itself like this. If someone's a real recipient of grace, and you'll see it from Paul here. Paul, which is a sure sign of a man who's thoroughly repented. He's more than willing to acknowledge the wrong that he did. He'll always speak about it. Saints, I did wrong. I persecuted the church. He's never justifying himself. He's never saying, no, it wasn't so bad. You know, other people said this and other people did this. And that's why I did this. That's not repentance. That's not a trespass offering that's going to be accepted before the Lord. But you look at Paul. He is all the time speaking this way. He's saying, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I was born out of season. Friends, when a person has really repented and has offered a trespass offering that God has accepted, all he wants to do or she wants to do is let others learn from the mistake that they made. That's a sure sign that someone's repented. You don't have to pull things out of them. They just let it flow from them because they want other people to learn from the trespasses they committed. That's how you can tell genuine repentance. When someone really receives grace, confession comes out. Restitution comes out. That's when you have to persuade people and say, oh, please go and make right with this. No, friends, it shouldn't be like that. What's needed then is a fresh infusion of grace. Realize what Christ has done for you. And then look and see, oh, Lord, in light of all that you've done for me, oh, Lord, is there nothing that I can do in some way to go and make repair of the damage that I've done? Is that not what it should be, friends? That's what a trespass offering is to a believer. It's not enough just to confess. after your confession. It's how you can go and try to make right the things which, the very thing that you're confessing about, the things which it's caused. So you want to go and try to make that right. That's how Paul, when he speaks about his labors, he says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Think of what this man went through. What's he trying to do? Why is he laboring like this? Why is he going from town to town? He gets stoned here. He gets let down a basket from the wall in this town. And the man, he's got an apostolic zeal inside of his bosom to say, I need to make up for lost time. I damaged the cause of Christ. I didn't do things the right way. I trespassed against God. I trespassed against his people. He's given me another opportunity to set these things right. That's why I labor the way that I do. No one's forcing this man to do it. This is grace trying to express itself from the soul of the man. That the man's trying to make wrong for the things that he did. Trying to make right for the things that he did wrong. He's trying to offer this trespass offering. And he's not just going and offering, giving 1 shekel and 20. No. He's giving superabundantly above it all. Just like Zacchaeus, he's going, trying to go to all the people that he sinned against so that he can give fourfold. And I'm sure if he had more, he's going to give more than fourfold to try to make up for the things that he did. Ah, friends, the trespass offering is a blessing before the Lord. When the Lord sees that, and it's a blessing to the people of God. Because anytime you see a person coming in this kind of a spirit to make something right with you, that they've sinned against you, how can you not be overjoyed and accept the person? That's why the prodigal son, when he came, it wasn't a forced confession. His father never had to force anything out of him. It was a real, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. He's made right with heaven and now he wants to come and make right with his father that he sinned against. His father has suffered because of his behavior, suffered because of his attitude. He's taken his inheritance even before time and he's squandered it on unrighteous living. And he wants to come back and says, let me just be a servant. Let me just work as a servant. That's enough. Let me try to make it up to you in some kind of a way. And when he comes with that kind of an attitude, look at the grace that comes from his father, which types our heavenly father. He says, bring the robe, put it on him, put the shoes. No. You're not a servant, you're my son. And he restores him back. But I'm sure if we could continue reading that story, this young man wasn't a lazy man from then. I'm sure this man labored in the fields. I'm sure this man labored for his father. I'm sure this young man did all that he could do to try to make up lost time, to try to make up what he had done for his father. That's a sure token of grace. That's real grace when it comes into the life of a person. Our friends, you find somebody when they've really, really repented, even of grievous sin. Sometimes you've got to ask them, please don't speak about that in public. Yeah. They'll be so willing to speak it to everybody because God has forgiven them and they don't want people to make the same mistake that they made. So they'll be so free, so open to speak about it, showing they've completely overcome it. Showing they've taken it to the altar. Something died upon the altar. All self-justification died on the altar. All pride, all human will died on the altar. And they've come out the other side and it becomes a sweet fragrance before the Lord. And it becomes something that God can really bless. Amen. That's the way that it is with the kingdom of God. What about Samson? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, friends, if there was ever a man that transgressed against his people by playing around with the things of God, by playing around with the divine gift that had been entrusted to him on behalf of his people. Amen. Oh, friends, that gift wasn't given to him to go and pick up the gates of Gaza. Amen. And play around the way that he did. That gift was given to him for the children of Israel to minister deliverance from the Philistines. But he so played around with it until he brought reproach upon himself and upon the name of his God. Oh, friends, and there he is now in Gaza. And there he is in the prison house. And there he is bound with fetters of brass. He makes right with God. But there comes a zeal inside of him. Friends, this is the trespass offering. Let me be avenged. Let me take vengeance upon mine enemies. That's a real thing a believer should do. If your mouth has been used to speak evil of people, let that same mouth now take vengeance. And go and do exactly the opposite. Where maybe your mouth broke down, let your mouth now build up abundantly. Use it in another way. If you've allowed the devil to use you and take an opportunity inside of your life, when grace comes in, when repentance comes in, friend, you'll have such a zeal.
Yes. Amen.
And it was a real offering.
Yes.
Because he was willing to lay himself upon the altar. Yes. He was willing to die with his enemies. Amen. He was willing to take vengeance, to pay whatever price that it was, amen, to receive once he could feel grace inside of his body flowing once again. And he said, let me take vengeance upon these Philistines. It's a powerful principle, friends. That's a powerful principle. And friends, I so much prayed and I said, Lord, you reveal it to me. If there's any person like Zacchaeus that I've transgressed against, that I sinned against, that I haven't made right, reveal it to me. Because I want to go and make it right. You know, I don't know of anybody, but if there's somebody and you come to me, I'll make it right. Just as much in this period gone by, we tried to speak to different people and find out where did we fall short in the things of the kingdom of God. And friends, where we fell short by the grace of God, we've really tried to make restitution for those things. In the midst of battle, in the midst of pressures that we all have inside of our lives. But God sees the desire of our hearts. That you want to take revenge upon the enemy. For the opportunities we've given him in days gone by. We don't want to allow those same opportunities once again. And friends, if every single one of us will have the same desire today. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Because this is how we restore, bring reconciliation between people. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts. No, there's no a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No, it's got to be done properly. You've got to come and bring your goods that you took from your brother, from your sister, and say, brother, sister, here's the goods. Here, and I'm going to add more on top. And make a reconciliation with people. That's the way that it's supposed to be done. Now, the prophet, he also had the same kind of a thing. Now, he speaks of it in his life story in Toledo. The prophet transgressed against God's purpose for his life. He transgressed against the holy things when the vision came and told him, you go to Mishawaka, you go with these people. And then he didn't listen to what the Lord said. Ah, friends, it was a trespass that he trespassed against the Lord. And he says, when his daughter was dying, we know the story, Sharon Rose. And he says, Sharon Rose, honey, you're not going to leave daddy, are you? And I looked at her little old fat legs and her little crippled hand like this, like she was quivering. And she was looking at me, little old lips quivering. And I said, Sharon, are you going to leave daddy? And she looked up at me and she was suffering so hard. You see, friends, sin causes people to suffer.
Amen.
When you lie against me, you cause me to suffer. When you gossip against me, or if I gossip against you, if I ruin your name, your reputation, I cause you to suffer. I bring suffer. I'm defrauding you. I'm robbing you of something that you're entitled to as a believer. If I spoil your reputation, if I speak evil of you, if I spread a lie against you, yeah? Friends, I'm causing you to suffer. And the prophet now, when he transgressed against God's purpose for his life at that time, he brought suffering upon other people. He brought suffering upon his daughter, suffering upon his wife. And not only that, but the prophet says, if I had have gone 1933, 1934 with those people at that time, he says, the angel would have come to me a lot sooner. And this gift would have manifested itself. And imagine the amount of sick people that would have been healed. And he said, there would have been far more people in heaven this evening. Oh, friends, so the prophet now, he realizes that. Now, this wasn't just a little decision that I made. There were deep consequences to this decision. When I didn't go God's provided way, I trespassed against God and I trespassed against his people. I caused suffering. I allowed people to stay in bondage just as much as the prophet says, Moses, when he turned his back on the people and he went up into the wilderness for 40 years. And he left the people to suffer. And for 40 years, because he took an offense against the people, though he had the gift of deliverance inside of him, people were being whipped. The blood was running down into the mud pits. The people were groaning. People were dying down there in Egypt. That's why you'll understand when grace came to him once again at the burning bush and said, I've heard the cries of my people and I'm sending you. When he went down there, friends, and he took those people out, he put up with the fusses of the people. For a long time, he made intercession for the people. He would throw himself in the gap. No matter what the people would do, Moses would make intercession. He tried to take the blame upon himself. Why? Because he forsook those people. He trespassed against the people, and his life now became a trespass offering, trying to make restitution for the failings that he had done against the program of God, how he had let God down, how he had let the people of God down. And that's why the man put up with what he did. That's why the man lived the kind of life that he did. You and I would never put up with the fusses of people like that. Right? We would have get these people out of here. That's what we would have done. Unless you've really, really transgressed. And now God's giving you an opportunity to make a restitution. And you're trying to make it up in some kind of a way if you can. You want it to make right. And that's exactly the same with the prophet. Now, listen what the prophet says about Sharon Rose. It says she was suffering so hard till one of those little baby eyes, her little eyes was crossed like that. I looked at her suffering so, and it looked like she was trying to reach her little hands to me. Oh, it just tore my heart out of me. From that day, that's the reason. Cross-eyed children, I can't stand to look at them. You know, God does those things sometimes to get the good out of it. Isn't that right? So now when the prophet comes out the other side and is given another opportunity, when the angel comes in the cave, he's going to take vengeance upon the enemy. The suffering that he caused now, the opportunity he gave to the devil to do that to his daughter. He says, I had more than 250 cases of crossed eyes crossed the platform. Not once were they not healed. Not once. That was taking vengeance upon the enemy, friends. That's trying to make a restitution. That's trying to say, I've caused suffering before. I'm not going to allow suffering like this once again. That's a life that becomes a trespass offering before the Lord. He's long been forgiven. God's come down in the cave. He's already offered the sin offering. It's been accepted before the Lord. The wrong, the mistakes that he's made are under the blood. God remembers them no more. But the prophet knows the consequences of what he did. He knows the suffering. He knows the hurt. He knows what he's defrauded the people of, the gift that he has. He knows that so much more could have been achieved. So when he goes out, friends, he's not playing anymore. When he goes out from there, the prophet says, and I saw that little thing and I knelt down on the floor and I said, oh dear God, I'm sorry that I did what I did. You took my wife, my darling, away from me. Now you're taking my baby. Oh God, please don't take my little girl. I love her with all my heart. I'll serve you. I've done all that I could do. Except I didn't go when you told me to go down there. So he knew why. He knew why these things were happening inside of his life. And surely, friends, if you look inside of your life, then there's no more the full blessing inside of your soul. There's no more the real communion and the fellowship you used to have with Christ as in the days of your youth. If you get humble and soft before the Lord, surely he'll show you why. Surely he'll show you why. God's not going to hold it back as a mystery. He's holding back his own purpose. He's going to reveal to you, you never made right with brother so-and-so. You lied about that person. You spoke evil. You plotted against that man. You had your own thoughts and your own purposes and you deceived. You kept it inside of yourself if you've never made it right. And then God says, okay, now it's time for the trespass offering. Before you come to the altar to offer your gift and you remember that your brother's got something against you, leave it at the altar. Go and make right. Go and be reconciled to your brother. And then come to the altar. Amen. Oh, friends, there's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. That's why God says the trespass offering, it's got to be a death, a bloody, painful, messy death. That's what you got to do to make right with the thing you've done wrong. It's not enough just to say, oh, I'm sorry. Like the children do when they apologize to one another. And they don't mean it. They're not thinking deep about it. God says, come to the altar and see what's happening here. See an innocent one dying for what you did. See the suffering and the pain that's happening right here. See the bloodshed. Then you'll understand how I look at this. And then you'll start understanding it. The thing you did, you can't just dismiss it. You caused pain. You've wronged people. You've defrauded people. You've stolen people's reputations. You've stolen the joy out of people's lives. You've done these things. You can't just leave it like this. Now go to them and offer them above that which you took from them. Can't offer restitution. Go and make right. If you stole someone's joy, pray and go and make that. Go and try to be a blessing to that person. Go and try to minister an abundance back to that person of what you took away from them.
Amen.
Oh, friends, you think of those people there in America when they put them in jail. And then after 18, 20 years, they realize they put the man in jail, but he shouldn't have been in jail. They give the person such a compensation package. They give the person tens of millions of dollars. And nobody complains. Why? Because it's not right was done to that person. That person was denied the privileges, the liberty, the freedom which they should have had. So now the government, when they realize they made the mistake, they're going to do everything they can to try to say, look, we can't give you those years back, but we'll try to make the rest of your life a bigger blessing as it possibly can be. And friends, if the governments can do it, they get it based on the kingdom of God. That's according to the laws of the kingdom of God. If you've trespassed against somebody, if you've taken something away from somebody, and then the Lord shows you that's not right what you've done, go and make reconciliation. Go and make it right. When they came to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest of all the commandments? What did he say? He said, it's twofold. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your brothers yourself. Love your brothers yourself. Reconcile with God and reconcile with his people. That pleases the Lord. That's the greatest of all of the commandments, friends. And friends, God withholds his full blessing until we do this. He does. The book of Acts chapter 1 proves it to us. The Lord left them in 10 days in that place saying, you people, there's things you need to make right. You people, there's trespass offering that needs to be made here. There's people that are going to lay things upon the altar. There's got to be some dying out to self here. Amen. Dying out to pride. Dying out to your starchiness and all that. Which is stopping you from going and sitting with that person and making right. And then the moment the atmosphere got deeper and deeper. And God obviously was encouraging them along the way. And one by one they laid themselves down. And one by one they offered the trespass offering. And then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God looked down and says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to come into this condition. But it's not an easy thing, friends. It's not going to take care of itself. It's not going to take care of itself. If you today are not comfortable to wash the feet of someone at foot washing, it's not going to take care of itself. It's not going to fix itself. You've got to fix it. That person's got to fix it. Now, if you go to the person that don't want to make right, then you come to us.
Amen.
You then go with the second person. Then you tell it to the church. But the principle, friends, is too important for us to neglect anymore.
Amen.
It's too. God is really doing something for us.
Yes.
God wants to take us somewhere. You can feel it in the spiritual realm. But what is hindering it and what will hinder us is this one here.
Yes.
If we don't offer the correct offering the right way. If we allow divisions between ourselves, no matter how justified you feel, divisions are always wrong. You may feel justified and say, it wasn't my fault, it was his. But you still have a responsibility to go to them. You can't just leave the breach like that. How can we just leave breaches in the walls of Jerusalem? The enemy is going to come in. And all of us are going to suffer because of that. Our friends, as we come to communion this evening, if anybody wants to still take communion. But I mean, you don't have to stop taking communion. You just resolve in your heart. If on the altar of your heart you know that I should have gone and made something right with somebody, I should have gone and spoken, just determine inside of yourself when you pray before communion, say, Lord, first opportunity that you give me from here, I'm going to go and make this right. Amen. It's been too long. We've given the devil opportunity for too long. Amen. We need to sort this thing out. Oh, friends. And that's why I said, please don't come to me in the office when you've got a grievance against somebody. Yes. Go to the person. Yes. Don't come to me. What do you want me to do? The Bible says you go to him. Amen. And if he won't hear you, then you go with another person. Amen. And if they won't hear you, then you tell it to the church. Amen. That's fine. I don't mind sitting down with somebody if they've got a grievance with somebody as being a second person being taken along. But go yourself first. Amen. And friends, it's so sad when it has to be done like that, because according to the law of the trespass offering, that person should have come to you already. Amen. That person should have come to you and said, look, I'm really, really sorry for what I did. I'm really sorry for this breach, this trespass. Can we not make a reconciliation? And if it's done in the right spirit, you feel it when it's done in the spirit. You know, it's like you want to say to the person, like the father of the prodigal, you want to say, look, stop saying those things. You know, it's enough now. You don't have to say too much. Because a person, when they're really repenting, they really repent. Amen. You know what it's like when you break through into the presence of God, when you haven't been there for a while. Amen. Friends, you'll pour out your soul before the Lord. Amen. Because you've got an audience at his feet. You know that he's sharing your prayer. He's accepting something which he hasn't accepted for a season inside of your life. It'll come out of you like the water from the smitten rock. It'll come out of you like that. And friends, a genuine repentance is like that as well. A genuine repentance has a sweetness to it. It leaves a lingering fragrance between people. It just brings grace out of the heart of the person who's been wronged. And you'll just feel grace. Look, brother, forget about it. And you hug one and it's as if it never happened. Amen. That's a real trespass offering when you offer it before the Lord. And the prophet, he realized that now when he trespassed. And just to finish off, that's why he says it in Life Story Cleveland. He says, and she raised up them bony hands, Sister Hope, and embraced around it. And I kissed her goodbye. And she closed her eyes and went out to meet God. That was my last date with my wife. And by the grace of God, I'm trying my best to make double time. Amen. That's the reason I try so hard to preach day and night in one campaign after another. I'm trying to make up for what I lost back there. And people say, how can a man stand 8 days and nights without rest? Until he almost loses his mind praying for people. Friends, his life became a living trespass offering. Amen. He knew God has forgiven me, but I need to try to make this up to the people. I need to try to minister something back to the people to make up for the time that I lost. Oh, friends, we lost time in the last couple of years. Let's make double time to make up that which we lost. Let's make double time. And friends, it doesn't take long for God to bless and to restore. When your attitude is like that, he will restore you so quickly, you'll almost forget you ever had those problems. He says in Isaiah, says, those enemies that were against you, you'll search to find them and you won't find them anymore. You'll say, where's this tormentor that used to torment me? You'll search for it and you'll find, it's gone. It's completely gone. That is the power of the trespass offering. When it's done the right way, it makes a tremendous restitution. Where it damaged the kingdom, where it hindered the program of God, it now pushes it forward at double pace. It's now an abundance of labor. Though Paul has to suffer shipwreck and he's in peril among false brethren and he's in peril in the city and whatever, he says, none of these things move me. He says he just has one desire. He wants to finish up that which had been started. He's been given grace. He's been given another opportunity. He doesn't want to lose that opportunity, friends. And God has given us grace in this season, friends. Just like Brother Lexi was preaching about the time of your visitation. God has given us grace. But this is one way that we receive the grace of God in vain. This is one way that we hinder the working of the Lord to achieve the full purpose of the reason that he wants to draw nigh at this time is by holding these issues one against another. is by holding old offenses and old grudges and allowing these things to fester inside of us. Friends, we need to come the Bible way. We need to come the scriptural way. If you're coming to the table today and you know your brother's got something against you, resolve inside of yourself. And be faithful to your vow, because God will hold you to your vow. And say, Lord, I want to make right. How can I leave it like this for so long? How can I wash the feet of somebody when inside of myself I'm uneasy? I don't have a liberty in my spirit towards this person. Oh, no, don't let it be like that, friends. Surely at some stage you had a liberty with that person. At some stage you could sit down in the quietness of things in fellowship with that person. Something came in. Something came in. Something came in to what? What is it the devil does? To steal, to kill, to destroy. It's the devil has come in. It's the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, the caterpillar. But God says, I will restore, saith the Lord. He says, I'll restore. But in that season of restoration, we've got to be willing to offer the trespass offering. We've got to be willing to go the right way. We can't just bury the old things and say that they never happened. Yet we've caused pain and suffering in the lives of other people. We've got to come God's provided way. And friends, when grace comes inside of your soul, you want to do it. You desire to do it. You can't wait until the job is done. You just want a liberty with the sons and daughters of God once again. You don't want to come to the house of God with a dark cloud over your head every time. You don't want to see the fellowship of the saints and not feel comfortable in the midst of the fellowship of the saints. I don't want to come here and preach and not feel a liberty. Friends, if I don't have a liberty up here, I need to pray and say, Lord, why don't I have a liberty? And then I find brother so-and-so is not happy, sister so-and-so. Then let me go and sit down and speak to them. And say, look, brother, sister, can we not sort this thing out? No, for the sake of the kingdom of God, for all of our own good, for the sake of the program of God going forward, can't we sort this thing out? And the vast majority of things are small issues that the devil's made big because they've been left for a long time. Ah, friends, let's search ourselves this evening. Let's pray. Let's say, search me, O Lord, and try me and see whether there be any evil, any uncleanness, any leaven inside of me. Because a little leaven in the end leavens the whole lump. And at the Passover season, you know, the Jews, they search their homes. They search every place, the cupboards, the everywhere to see if there's any trace of leaven inside of their homes. Because they know that principle. It would be a good thing for us to do the same as we approach this type of the Passover. The fulfillment of what the Passover was a type, which is the bread and the wine. As we approach, say, Lord, search me if there's still any leaven, if there's any guile, if there's any unforgiveness, if there's any grudges that I'm bearing, if there's any hurt that I'm still holding on to without going to try to resolve this with my brother and my sister, let me, as I come to the table, lay it down. And the prophet says, in communion there's healing. In communion there's deliverance. If you do it the right way, and God will minister grace once again into your experience. And as you're seeking for opportunity, He'll give you an opportunity once again to sit down with your brother and sister in the quietness of things. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And friends, anybody who's got a genuine Christian born-again spirit doesn't want to be at odds with their brother and their sister. They don't want to be in conflict and strife and cliques and all these kind of things. You want to serve God. You want to see His program go forward. You want to see His will be done, His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So let's meditate upon these things. Let's pray for the grace of God. Let's pray for one another. We all need grace. You know, the thing I like about the trespass offering, it's for things which you did that even you didn't even realize that you had done. And friends, if you've done things wrong against people we don't realize, it's so good when somebody comes and says it to you, brother, that really offended me when you said that. And you say, look, I really didn't realize that, brother. I wasn't meaning that. And you reconcile. And the devil, once the light is shone in on an issue, all darkness flees very quickly. He doesn't stay around long. But when you keep it in ourselves and we discuss it among ourselves, we don't go God's provided way to go and speak to that person, to go and say, look, I want this breach that's right before me in the wall of Jerusalem to be built once again. The only one that wins is the devil. And every single one of us suffers. The prophet says your unconfessed sins can cause this church to totally fail. He says that your unconfessed sins, friends, let's put everything under the blood as we come to His table this evening. Let's stand. I just ask Brother George to come. Let's sing one song. What's that one? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
sense? We want to come to a time of prayer, really just to seek the grace of God once again. Let's really appreciate what he's doing. I'm so glad even for testimonies I've received this week. I know the Lord healed Brother Wilmore very powerfully. We really thank the Lord for that. Even Sister Beulah, when she left here, she sent me a message today that she really claimed her inheritance on Sunday for her papers, for her, her biometric card, ID card there for her permanent stay. And when she got home, it was there. So she was so thankful for that. And friends, there's a lot of good things that the Lord is doing. It's a wonderful thing. But as I said on Sunday, let's not hinder it. Let's not let the past hold us back from the future. And if there's anything between you and somebody else, I beseech you, like Paul said, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, don't leave it like that. Pray about it. Lay yourself upon the altar. Then follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and he will lead you to make reconciliation. And if you go to make reconciliation, the person doesn't want to be reconciled, let's do it the scriptural way. Go with the second person, then you come to us. But let's get things to where God wants them to be, so that we can see a superabundance of the goodness that he's already demonstrating in our midst. I'm sure that's your desire, friends. Sister Rubelin, she's asking for prayer. She wants to come forward for prayer as the rest of us pray in their church back home. If somebody's new to the church and is going to take communion for the first time, the pastor prays for them. So she is asking if we wouldn't mind being prayed for. That's glad. We don't mind doing that at all. So let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's seek the Lord before we come to the communion table. Let's call upon his name. Let's put everything under the blood. Let's lay ourselves upon the altar. And we ask the sister to come forward as we all pray. Let's all pray in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed, saints. We just want to remember Brother Crosby in prayer. I was speaking to him today. He hasn't been well, hasn't been preaching for the last few weeks. He was not well, and then he started preaching again, and the devil's really attacked him again. So let's just unite and remember him in prayer, and also we'll pray for the bread and the wine. Heavenly Father, we just unite ourselves together upon this night, just on the basis of your sure promise, Lord. Father, we approach unto thee even now. I want to bring my brother before thee, Brother Crosby, Lord. I want to ask of thee, Father, Lord, even at this time, that you would touch him. Father, Lord, you have said, I will restore, saith the Lord. And we stand upon that, Lord. Break any fetter, break any bondage of the evil one, we'd pray. Restore his health, Father, Lord, that he may serve thee, Lord, in the way that you've called him to. I pray your blessing upon him. I pray that you'd intervene and undertake. I pray, Lord, that he'll testify, Lord, of your goodness once again for your restoration. Help him at this time, Lord. Please, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this bread unto us, Lord. I pray you'll bless the wine. Bless the communion table. Bless your people as we partake. Even as you wash one another's feet, won't you just be with us, Lord? And Heavenly Father, I'm even thinking for tomorrow, Lord, of the Sunday school trip, Lord. And I just want to pray as well, even at this time, Lord, watch over our young ones. Bless the Sunday school teachers, Lord, for all the effort that they make. Bless that, Lord, we pray. Father, we're looking unto thee this night. Won't you have mercy upon us, Lord, as we gather, even the word that has gone forth upon this night. You said your word will never go forth without achieving its purpose, Lord. Let it achieve its purpose, Lord. Father, believe in the fertile ground of the souls of your sons and daughters, Lord. Father, you be the voice that speaks, and all other voices have stopped speaking, Lord. You be the one to go forth, Father, to see the fulfillment of what you have spoken in your word, Lord. And we just want to lay ourselves before thee on the altar and say, Lord, let your will be done. So bless your people now. Bless our communion in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's just sing, Brother George.
Renew a rise. Thank you.
sense. Let's read John chapter 13.
Amen.
Just to come to foot washing. It's a strange thing to people who don't know to wash one another's feet. But if you lived in Bible days, you would have known well how to do it.
Amen.
John 13. Let's read from verse 4. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Amen.
Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. My sisters go this side, brothers go this side. If I can just say one thing about foot washing, don't always wash the same person's feet. You know, it's not a good thing. Wash somebody else's feet. It's a nice thing to do. Let brothers come this side, sisters, and may God bless you as we wash one another's feet. Amen. What I was thinking was that when we bless the tiger behind our hearts.
That's it?
Yeah. But Josh broke down to sing it off.
Surely around him his robe comes down. Surely around him the door to heaven.
Wonderful when he's around. The word can be a sword, but when
Amen.
There's balm in Gilead,
Hallelujah.
Our friends, it just circumcises excess flesh.
Amen.
It just does you good.
Amen.
It may be a little bit painful when there's the incision that's made.
Amen.
But the Bible says afterwards there's the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And that's all we desire. Let's be in prayer for Sunday. Let's be in prayer for the Sunday school. Children, the trip tomorrow. that the Lord might give them good weather and a blessing, that it might be a good time. Let's pray for one another, that the Lord might have His way. Let's sing one more. Then we ask Brother Scotty if you would mind to come to close for us in a word of prayer. God be with you until we meet again.
We are here to praise You, to lift our hands and sing. We are here to give to You, Lord, the best that we can bring. Oh, bringing You our love, bringing You our love, rising from our heart. Everything within us cries, I love You. We are here tonight. We are here to praise You, Lord.
Lift our hands and sing.
Oh, we lift our hands. We sing to You, Lord.
We are here to give
to You, Lord,
the best that we can bring.
Oh, bringing You our love, rising from our hearts. Everything within us cries, we love You,
I love You.
Oh, bringing You our love, bringing You.
Father God, how thankful we are, Lord, that Your throne does come down, Lord. Father, how thankful we are, Lord. Father, that we feel like those on the way from Emmaus, Lord. Father, before coming into Your house, Lord, our heart's desire was, Lord, not to come here in vain, Lord, or by means of tradition, Lord, or anything like that, because You've been blessing our souls, Lord. You've been raising us from glory unto glory, Lord. Father, You've been healing us, Lord. You've been providing and meeting all our needs. Father, You've met us on the battlefield, Lord, when Satan has brought many trials, Lord, Father, in the week gone by. But, oh God, what a victory it is to come into Your house, Lord. Father, even as Your word said, Lord, that You are a place of refuge, Lord, a mighty tower, that the righteous run therein and are safe, oh God. We thank You, Lord, that You are faithful even on this night to speak to our hearts, O God.
Amen.
O Lord, we know that each and every person here tonight, Lord, even if Satan desired them not to get something, but Lord, You are greater, Lord, He that's within us than he that's in the world. And we know, O God, that You spoke to every man, every woman, Lord, every child, Lord, even upon this evening. Oh, and how so much we appreciate it, O God. Father and Lord, You said He who began the good work is faithful to see through to the end. Lord, we know that You have, Father, an expected end for us, good desires for us, Lord. Father, and You've brought, Lord, something else, Lord. Father, to shine light upon the darkness. That, Lord, Satan will have no place to hide. Father, He's been exposed even upon this night, Lord. Trying, Lord God, to claim Your children, Lord. Trying to hold us and keep us down from, Lord God, the blessings, Lord, which You promised us. But, Father God, Lord, it's spoken and Your word will not return void unto Thee. So, Lord God, we thank You for the victory, Lord, in Your word. We thank You for speaking to us, O God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father and Lord, You said, Lord God, that we should search and examine ourselves, Lord.
Amen.
Your word has done that, O God.
Amen.
Father, and there's no hiding place for Satan.
Amen.
So we pray, O God, that the same grace which was here now, which is here now, Father, would be with us when we depart from here.
Amen.
Because Satan would try to come and work on our flesh, Lord. He tried to come and make us lose our focus. Lord, he tried to come and disturb the vision. But oh God, we look into you, Father. That Lord, we take heed to your word. That Lord, we won't be like that man that looked in the mirror. Father, after beholding his face, Lord, he turned and walked away and forgot his countenance. But oh God, we'll be diligent, oh God. Father, and we're trusting that your spirit will help us, Lord. Father, Lord, for these things are for our benefit, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your plan of redemption. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tying yourself with us, Lord. Father, when we look at ourselves, Lord, how frail and how, Lord God, how just failures we are without thee, oh God. Father, but Lord, yet, Lord, through your perfection in your planning, oh God. Father, we are not strong in ourselves, but we are strong in that finished work, Lord, of Calvary. And oh God, how thankful we are, Lord, and how blessed to be partakers, Lord, of this table, Lord, even upon this night. Father God, Lord, we pray, we look to you, Father. That, Lord, as we depart, Lord, and go our ways, Lord God, we know Satan will always be Satan. But Lord God, we pray that we be diligent, Father, in the things that we speak. Lord, let us be mindful of what we speak. Let us be mindful of our meditation. Lord God, where there's need, Lord God, to make right. Oh, Lord, grant a diligence and a, Father, expediency to do it immediately, oh God. Before the enemy, Lord, can come and rob us, Lord, of our blessing. Father, our trust is in thee, O God. Be with us, Lord. Keep us safe as we journey home. Father, in the same way you're with us, come in, undertake for us. Lord, even Father, we pray, Lord, that through the night, Lord, may your Holy Ghost, Lord, protect and watch over us, Lord. Amen. Watch over our children. Prayer has been made, Lord, for tomorrow. Yes. May it be a blessing, Lord. Amen. Father, even Lord, we pray, looking forward, Lord, to you speaking to us again. Father, even on Sunday. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be a prepared ground, Lord. Father, Lord, let any issues, Lord, that need to be made right, Lord, we pray that your spirit be in them, Lord, that things would not be made worse, but, Lord God, they'd be better. That, Lord, when we come here on Sunday, your presence, Lord, would be here from the start, Lord, that it'll be a confirmation, oh God, that you're well pleased with us. Grant us grace, grant us mercies, Lord. We thank you, Lord, even for the things which you have done. We thank you for bringing Brother Max safely back. Hallelujah. Father, how we appreciate it, Lord. Amen. Father, we pray for those that are not here tonight, Lord. Brother Shep, Lord, the saints in Carlo, we think of them, Lord. Amen. And we're trusting one day, Lord, you'd give opportunity, Father, for them to be here as well, to partake, Lord, of this blessing. Amen. Father God, be with us now. Restore strength even unto our pastor, Lord. Give him grace. Be merciful to him, Lord. Father, even in preparation, Lord, for Sunday, may you grant him grace to put himself aside once again, Lord. Father, Lord, that your spirit would use him. Bless his family, Lord. Amen. Father, as we pray and we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.
Just announced, since there's a baptism on Sunday. Two people. It's really an interesting story. When he went to Poland, I spoke to the one brother there, and he said, I know one like brother sort of in... He lives near Brother Max and them up there, near Longford. And so he's deaf. He doesn't speak very good English. So I said, hey, this isn't going to be that easy. So when we got back, he emailed me now. His name, he's got quite a strange name, but a Polish name. But he so much wants to be baptized. So I've been contacting him through email backwards and forwards last week and this week. So they're coming on Sunday. Him and his wife to be baptized. So I'd really, really ask you to pray for them, that the Lord might really make it a blessing.
Amen.
You know, the song says, in these the closing days of time, God is calling his children. They might be here, they might be there, they might have been hiding from the Lord, running away for a season, but God has his season that he'll bring his sons and his daughters back. So that'll be on Sunday. So please keep that in prayer. And may the Lord bless you as we depart. Let's sing that song, in these the closing days. Yes, brother. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You pray, bro, for the weather. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
In these closing days of time, what joy.
shall be.